Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bethany and our Christmas in July service. It really feels like Christmas out there, right? Right? Yeah, right. I hope all of you are well today and that you're feeling richly blessed. We should all feel richly blessed because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is our assurance that Jesus is our Messiah and Savior. Now, we do live in a world filled with rife with fear and trepidation, but we are children of a God of love. So we need to be filled with joy and anticipation. Now, can I hear a big honking amen to that? Woo! I want to remind you also that if you have any prayer requests or joys to celebrate, please text 495-0501, and Pastor Susan will include that in her pastoral prayer later. Now, I ask all of you to please join me in prayer. Good morning, Father. We are a somewhat displaced people because we are not allowed to gather in a building together, but despite that, we are here. And you promise that wherever two or more are gathered in your name, you will be there also. So we know that you are here with us now, Father, and thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for leaving your throne in heaven to come to earth as a helpless baby. We know we don't deserve it. Oh, no, we don't. But we are so incredibly thankful. We hope that our praise and worship will honor and glorify you this day. We lift this prayer to you as your humble servants. In Jesus the Christ, his holy name we pray, amen. And now we're going to sing several Christmas songs. We're just going to do a verse from each one. There'll be O Come All Ye Faithful, Angels from the Realms of Glory, The First Noel, Away in a Manger, Angels We Have Heard on High, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I hope you'll sing along, sing out loud, sing out proud as we celebrate Jesus.
Oh, How we doing? All right. Well, this is Plan B for me, but that's okay. I'm kind of used to that. If you are in your vehicle and you have a young person, you have a map. And we're going to talk a little bit about countries that celebrate break Christmas when it's hot. So Christmas in July in the U.S. started, at least one of the backgrounds goes that it started. I'm getting funny looks. Better? Okay. Started with a reverend that wanted to collect gifts for mission at Christmas, but it took so long before Amazon, you know, and getting things really quickly, it took so long to get the materials together that they actually did Christmas in July to collect all the materials so that by Christmas time they could pass them out. Makes sense, right? And then our friends on the other side of the equator, they started doing Christmas in July so that they could experience Christmas the way the Northern Hemisphere does when it's cold. But in the regular season, on December 25th, we have lots of countries that celebrate Christmas in this kind of weather. And guess what? They do it a little differently. They have normally things like fireworks. And they'll start their celebration in the evening and do caroling, and then they'll go to midnight mass, and then they'll have fireworks. As you know, for us, in the winter time, it's a little too cold out to do fireworks, so we don't see that a lot around here. So let's start, and you've got a map, and then you've got five little pieces of paper that you're gonna keep up with me. Okay, here we go. Number one is New Zealand. New Zealand, their dinner is usually a barbecue. It's too hot to cook inside, so they take it outside. Usually special foods like ham and shrimp and fish. And a popular, and this is your clue for which piece of paper you're looking for, a popular present in New Zealand are called jandals. And jandals are basically flip-flops. Don't tell them that. It's a combination of Japanese and sandals that gives them their name. So you're looking for a little piece of paper that has jandals on it. That's a popular Christmas present in New Zealand. Our second country is Bolivia. Bolivia is very popular for their nativity scenes, and they celebrate Christmas for a very long time. They start on Christmas Eve, and they celebrate through Epiphany. They are very famous, in addition to their nativity scenes, for fireworks. So you're looking for a little piece of paper that's got fireworks on it. They celebrate midnight mass called Misa de Gallo, or the Mass of the Rooster. And then after that mass, they go out and place baby Jesus in their nativity scene and have a grand fireworks show. They don't do a lot of present giving. This is a pretty poor country. But in order to support Christmas, the government has imposed a law called El Aguinaldo. I just made that up. I don't know how to pronounce it. And for the month of December, Bolivian workers get 2 to 3 times their salary. So they get their salary bumped up to help support their families during that time. Country number 3 is South Africa. In South Africa, a lot of families will go camping on Christmas. Okay, it's hot. They do carols by candlelight on Christmas Eve and have a Christmas morning service. Usually, this is your hint for this one, they give Santa's reindeer a break. They give them a break when they come through South Africa. And a lot of times the scenes will be set up with African animals representing the reindeer. Number 4 is Argentina, also south of the border there. They like to toast to start their Christmas day. They're mostly Catholic, so preparations begin like us with Advent. Nativity scenes are also very important. They do have Christmas trees. Unlike a lot of the South American countries, they use artificial Christmas trees, and you are looking for Christmas trees decorated with cotton balls because that's the closest they get to snow. So you're looking for cotton balls on Argentina. And then the last country is Australia, down under. They like to hang wreaths and carol on Christmas Eve. They have very famous light competitions where they'll decorate with Christmas lights and then go around and compete, the money going to charity. And they use something called a Christmas bush. And in Australia, they have a bush that's flowers are creamy white until right around Christmas and they turn bright red and shiny. So you're looking for a placemat kind of thing that's probably the last piece of your puzzle there. All right, so that's how some of our friends celebrate when they have to celebrate Christmas in the hot weather of July like we are doing right now. I want you to remember that just because they celebrate Christmas in a different way than us does not mean they are not celebrating Christmas in the same way in their heart, okay? So it's very important that we remember that just because people have different traditions than we do, that they are still Jesus's God's children, and he loves them, and he loves to see them celebrate in their own culture. All right, let us take a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's hot out here. We enjoy our Christmas celebrations in the mid of winter where it's cool and chilly and we have snow. Help us to remember that not everybody has that kind of scene going on, and we want to bless them wherever they are celebrating Christmas in July with us. Amen.
This morning's scripture comes from Luke 2, verses 21 through 35. After 8 days has passed, it is time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus. The name given by the angel before him was conceived in the womb. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child of Jesus, to do for him was what customary under the law. Simon took him in the arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. In my eyes have seen in your salvation. For you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
Let us take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we have heard your scripture read this morning. We have heard this scripture that recounts the days following the birth of Jesus. And so as we consider them, as we think about this birth, help us to see where it is that Jesus Christ offers hope to us. Lord, we think of Christ as light in the darkness, and so we ask that you help to flood our lives with that light and that hope. Help my words be your words and my message your message. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas in July. I've spent at least 7 Christmases in California, but it was never this warm on December 25th in California. Maybe we wore shirt sleeves a couple of Christmases, but this is different. But we need some celebration in our lives. We need, the worship committee said, you know, we just need something to get happy about. And so, and it's kind of fun to think about the birth of Jesus in a little bit different way. Now, the scripture you heard is about what happened after the birth, 8 days after the birth. And each of us comes into the world in a little bit different way. People have been born for hundreds of thousands of years now. And as I was thinking about that, you know, most of us don't know our birth narrative. We don't have something as spectacular as Jesus had with the, with his birth being announced by an angel to his mother, with Mary having to make the trip from Galilee to Bethlehem while she was pregnant, having the baby in the stable, having to lay him in the manger. But I did read about a woman named Amber Miller, and she was decided that she wanted to run a marathon. The only problem was when the marathon date was, she was going to be 39 weeks pregnant, which is pretty close to, you know, a week away from her due date. But her doctor gave her permission to run in the race. And and yes, go Amber. And halfway through the marathon, she started to have contractions. But she wanted to finish the race. So she finished the race, she grabbed the bite to eat, and then she headed to the hospital where she gave birth to her daughter June that evening. Perhaps the most harrowing birth story I've heard belongs to Sophia Pedro. She found herself pregnant. She lived in Mozambique, and there was a terrible flood coming. And so while she was seeking shelter on higher ground, the floodwaters overtook her, and in order to save herself, she had to climb up into a tree. She was up in that tree with water swirling below her for 3 days, and on the third day, she started having contractions. And she ended up delivering the baby by herself in a tree. But fortunately, she was seen by someone. They sent a rescue helicopter not too long after the baby was born. And so she and the baby were rescued from the tree. I'm sure she has shared that story with her son, and he has a pretty amazing birth story. My daughter likes to tell people or remind people that when she was born, she broke my tailbone. She probably enjoys that more than I do, her telling that. But we all come into the world and we hear about this amazing birth with Jesus Christ, and we celebrate it in December. And there's a lot of other stuff that's going on. You know, I mean, there are Christmas trees and presents and cards and all of those things and candles. And here we are, we're kind of got it stripped down to its essence here. And so I think about the journey that Mary and Joseph made, and then how they went from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, which is not a very far journey. They came to the temple, and they were going to dedicate Jesus at the temple. They were going to give him his name, the one that the angel told Mary that he was to be named Jesus. And so they also make a sacrifice at the temple. We know they were probably kind of poor, because if they had more wealth, they would have sacrificed a lamb, but they didn't. And so they sacrifice these two pigeons. And as they are coming, I guess at some point while they're leaving the temple, a man comes up to them, Simeon, and Simeon has received a message from God. He received a message from God that said, you will not die before seeing the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come, and you are going to see him. This descendant of David is going to come and save the world. So Simeon sees them, and the Holy Spirit tells him, yes, this is the Messiah, this little baby, this eight-day-old baby. And so he takes a child in his arms. He's holding salvation in his arms now, and he recites some scripture and a blessing for this child. And what he recites comes from the prophet Isaiah. The good news, things had not been good with Judah for a long time. They had a king who first he sided with Egypt, and then he sided with the Assyrians, and then they got defeated, and he went back to the Egyptians, and finally the Assyrians come in and they say, hey, you got to stop this, and this king, Jehoiakim, he disappears from the text entirely. I don't think anything good happened to him. And the Assyrians, they put a different king. They pick somebody. They put him on the throne. And while the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Assyrian Babylonians, is there in Jerusalem, he takes all of their soldiers. He takes all of their craftsmen, all of their artisans, all of their major governmental figures, and he hauls them off. He hauls them back to Babylon. And so all that's left are the poorest people in the land. So this is what's going on when this good news finally comes to Judah and the people of Israel. They've been taken from their home. They've been taken away from everything that they know, everything that they love. And while we were having our mission trip, which was, a mission trip to Weir's Cave, the youth's focus scripture came from the book of Daniel. And with the book of Daniel, we learned that the exiled people remained faithful to the one true God, even when they were threatened with death. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's three friends. They wouldn't bow down to a golden statue, to Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue, and so he was going to throw them in the fiery furnace. And he does, but they survive. And so these were people who were devoted to the one true God. So at some point, Nebuchadnezzar is vanquished. They're defeated by another group of people, the Persians. And that's when the prophet tells them the good news that Simeon quotes. He tells them that the king of Babylon, that Isaiah the prophet says, the king of Babylon is going to be defeated. The people are going to be free to return home. They get this word of hope from the prophet. And now Simeon shares that same word of hope, saying that salvation is coming. Salvation has come into the world. The Messiah, the Anointed One, is here, and there is hope for us. And there's hope for us, too. We're not in exile. We're sort of in the opposite of exile. We are supposed to stay home. And there may be places that we want to go that we just can't go because they've been closed down. Even this far into the pandemic, we can't go to the movie theaters. We can't go to concerts. We can't go to sporting events. We can't, for some of us, we can't go into the places where we would normally be working. We are stuck. And yet, there is a word of hope. Even in the midst of all of this, there is a word of hope that Jesus came, and he came for our salvation. He was and is to come. And I wonder when all this will be over, and you probably do too. It's the not knowing part of it that gets to me, not knowing when things will get better, not knowing exactly how this virus is transmitted, not knowing how long we'll have to be in semi-isolation, how long will the guidelines keep changing, and how long will we rage against these things that keep us from doing everything that we want to do. Well, the hope is right there in Simeon's arms, right? The hope is there, the Messiah, the salvation. This child who will grow up in the midst of unrest, who will be opposed by the powers that be, who will see power fall and rise, and who will fall himself, but ultimately who rises in resurrection, rises to a new life so that we might have new life. come so that we might know the love of God and what God wants to do with us, that God wants to be in relation with us. This new life in Simeon's arms is my hope and my light if I can just keep my focus and not get distracted by all the things I can't do. Jesus was the one who embodied the very authority of God and who demonstrates God's love for us. Kathleen started by saying that verse of scripture we all know, God so loved the Son, he sent his only Son. God wants to have relationship with us. Jesus is the one who reminds us through his actions that sometimes we need to withdraw and pray, because that's what he did. When things got, well, I'm not going to say they were too much for Jesus, but when there was a lot going on, he would withdraw and go and pray. Jesus is the one who his contemporaries recognized as the Son of the living God. Jesus is the one who went to the cross, understanding that in doing so, he was being obedient to the will of God and was doing something profound for all of us. Jesus is the one who arose victorious over death and lives today. Even in the midst of bad news, the birth of Jesus is a word of hope. Even in the summer heat with gnats flying across my glasses, Jesus is summer, is hope, whether it's summer or winter or fall or spring. The hope of salvation that Simeon saw exists for us as well. And so we are not giving presents to one another, but I thank all of you who have been generous with our community place. This place that offers help and hope to those who are on the streets, those who need the hope of a better day. When you bring sugar and coffee and sleeping bags, you are offering them the love of Christ and the hope of a better day. May that sustain us all in days that may not be dark, but certainly they are strange times. So let us hope for a better day. Merry Christmas. Amen. So I'm thankful for all that everyone does for the church. This morning we had some great helpers who are putting out decorations and getting the sound system set up and getting the new camera ready. Those of you who are on Facebook are probably, hopefully I'm not washed out today. I'm not Casper the Ghost, but so we're thankful for all of the people who make all of this happen, being on Facebook Live, being in the parking lot. So let us give thanks. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all that is offered in your service. We give you thanks for those who give of themselves, for those who care, for those who are less fortunate. I give you thanks for the youth who spent their week in service this week, service to others. I'm so thankful for these young people who have done so much for their community. Lord, bless those who give, and bless what they give so that it may serve you and that it may shine light into a world that needs light so very much. Amen. I have a couple of announcements. Want to thank everybody who supported and prayed for our youth mission trip to Weir's Cave. Also went into Stanton a little bit. And especially want to thank our leader, Sean Cook, who did an awesome job. Want to thank our wonderful cook, Bridget Crawford, who opened her house to us, our adult leaders and the youth. They all did an awesome job and did some great work this week. Also, Charlene Michaels is going to have a birthday on July 25th. She's going to be turned, well, I don't know if I should say her age. It's one of those big birthdays. And so we want to do a card shower for her. So her address is in the thing that Lori sends out, the updates. And that's not what she calls it. But anyway, it's there in your little weekly briefing. And so you can send her a card and let her know that we're thinking about her, we love her, we care about her, and we want to wish her a happy birthday. Also, we want to be in... those are my announcements for the moment. Cindy is getting ready to put out the newsletter. So newsletter deadline is coming up if you have something for the newsletter. And I am checking... and also we have another birthday coming up. Dan Harrell is having a birthday on July 22nd, so he will have a birthday in a few days. So we need to add him to the birthday list. Also, we want to be in prayer for Mary Simmons. That's Cheryl Richards' mother. She's having some heart issues and has been in the hospital, so we keep Mary Simmons in your prayers. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our gracious God, you are Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, God among us. You are the wondrous gift of life and light to all people. And you came to us in human form, not a grown-up, but you came as a child, vulnerable. It seems, so amazing. And so we give you thanks that you, maker of heaven and earth, would enter the world like this, that you would have an animal's trough for a bed, and yet you would be the salvation of the world. And so we give you thanks for all that you did for us by sending your son, Jesus Christ. And so as we have come together, as we celebrate this Christmas in July, Lord, help us to remember that you are with us, that hope and salvation is for us, that you will be with us always. Oh, Lord, we pray for those who are in need of healing. We pray that you might give them strength and wholeness. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the promise of the resurrection that brings new life to all of us. Lord, we pray for those who find themselves living on the streets, and we ask that you would help us to see them with the eyes of Christ, who saw the humanity of all the people he met. Lord, continue to be with us. Continue to make us the body of Christ in the world. In his name I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we're going to finish our singing time with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I think you might have heard of this one, Joy to the World. Yeah. God bless everyone. Have a great week and Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, joy to the world. May you have, as Catherine said, a joyous, wonderful week. And may you know that God goes with you wherever you go, even if you stay home. Amen.